Good morning. You may notice today that we might be raptured and go to the wedding feast. All right. How many have a good week? A good week? Great. I'm going to talk about something that the Lord laid in my heart, and it's going to be... It may be new for some of you. It may not be for some of, but I just feel this is where the Holy Spirit is bringing us today. Unfortunately, we can't put a video. Amy will work on it, it's a video clip that we put together when we were in Chicago and the prophetic word that come about. The thing in, can we have the lights on? Is that all right? Thank you. Yeah, the toggle switch. Thank you. And the reason we went to Chicago, we mentioned before, because of the prophetic word that has been released almost 100 years ago. And it says there was the last revival there. It says that God's going to pour out his spirit on the next generation, and there's going to be a movement of revival. It's going to move around the world. So we felt like this is the right place. So we took... it was, I think, 16 of us. We went to Chicago. So, and it was very interesting when Reinhard Bonnke came in on his second session, and when he started to pray for an impartation of revival, and just like 5 minutes before that, I heard the Lord say, "This is the time." Can you imagine that? I mean, 100 years later, and you now in this moment say, "This is the time." And I turn around, and I think I took to Capus, and I say, "Get ready, the time is..." And the next thing we know, 5 minutes later, he started to pray that anointing, that release from him, because he said he's 71 years old. And he wanted to see... And we just felt like the amazing thing that what he say, he led about 55 million people to Christ. And his blessing that... I listened it like a couple of times, and he said that, "I bless and I release you to do 10 times more than what I did." Can you imagine that? I mean, you think about what, 55 million? I mean, where are we going to get that 1,000? Where are we going to get that 1 million? Where are we going to get? And he's talking about 10 times more, but I just felt like we were the spy in the land. Our group went there, we were like spy. We went, we spy what the land that God was about to give and release into our hand. That's how I felt. And yet we come back, we say, "This is huge." You know how the spy come back and feel like there's giant in the land, it's hard? I mean, if you think about it, 55 million people, we go to the Muslim world and reach out, and 90% of Muslim people give their life to Christ. And I was reading a recent article, actually it's on their newsletter, that every crusade they do, they need $900,000. Almost $1 million for every crusade. And we were like, "Man." And yet we heard about this, we come back and, you know, your mind is like, you felt like this little tiny thing, like, okay, God is a big God. You know, and so this is what I'm going to talk about today. Right. I want you to think about something about yourself a moment, and we can carry on. What is your life purpose? What is your life mission? What do you want to fulfill? What do you want to accomplish in your life? What is your life all about? What is your life? Think about it. What do you try to fulfill in this life? And at the end of the day, one day you will look back, you will say, "You know what? I've done it, or I haven't done it. I was able to do it, or I was not able to fulfill it." And God has many fulfillment for our life, has a lot of dream, has a lot of purpose. Let me give you a couple of things here to think about. David, King David in the Old Testament, he wanted to build a temple for God. And the temple come from the tabernacle of Moses, where we've been carried the tabernacle for 40 years in the desert. 40 years, but this is not just Moses. Even before Moses, there was other people, right? The 12 tribe of Israel, Jacob's son, and then you get Isaac, and then you get Abraham. All of them has done something in their life so that the next generation can go to the next further, and the next step further, next step further. So the thing about you and I, we think about, okay, what are the past generation? What have we done? So that we can now take the baton and run. This is what God wants. What is Bonke is doing, taking that what he's given to him, and now he's giving this to the next generation to run with it? Do you think God has a dream to see 550 million people saved? Well, think about this. If we start to dream God's dream, there's what? Almost what? 7 billion or 6 billion? 6 something, almost 7 billion people on the earth. How do you think we're going to reach this 7 billion people if we don't have start dreaming God's dream in our lives? If we start keep dreaming about these 5, 10, 100 people be saved in our generation, then we're really going to miss the mark. Right? And David has his this in his mind, in his heart. He said, I want to build a temple for God, and he provide. Have you tried to do something, and then you try to make it happen, and it still doesn't happen, and then you say, "What? You know what? The next generation is going to do it." If our forefathers do not have big dreams, if my parents do not have big dreams, if I don't have big dreams for my kids, we are not going further. We need to dream big. And David started to dream big, and not only he dreamed big, but he provides. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, he's talking about how he provide. And this is the last chapter of 1 Chronicles. He provides so that the next one can build it and run further with the dream. And God said to him, because your hand has blood, you're not the one who's going to build the temple, but your son is going to build it. And God chose another one to do it. Now, the question we ask is there any battle in your life? And because a battle in your life, you cannot build what God called you to build. There's too many war. Has been many war around us. We may not live in Afghanistan or in Iraq, and we may not expose to this kind of physical war, but are there other kind of war in your life that cause enemy to keep destroying what God wants to build? And God said, because of those walls, you cannot build the temple. But this is what God wants. It is God's plan. It is God's purpose. It is God's will, his desires. And the next thing we know, that if you bear with me, just turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to read from verse 6. Then the leaders of the father's house, leaders of the tribe of Israel, the captain of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offer willingly. Not only David offered, but other people. They offered willingly. They desire to be part of that dream. They desire to be part of that plan and purpose. Verse 7, they gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talent, 10,000 derrick of gold, 10,000 talent of silver, 18,000 talent of bronze, 100,000 talent of iron. That's what other people gave beyond King David. Verse 8, and whoever had precious stone gave him to the treasure of the house of the Lord into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Verse 9, then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly because of a loyal heart. Why do they give willingly? Because their heart is in the right place, is loyal. And they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. When people's our heart in the right place, and when we start to dream God's dream, there's rejoicing. There's rejoicing. Verse 10, then David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. I won't go into this bless. All right, let's go for it. Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted and head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and your reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And you, and who are my people? But we should be able to offer willingly as this. Even at this point, he said, who are we to be even able to do that? All things come from you, and of your own we have given you, and we are alien and pilgrim before you. As were all our fathers, our days on earth are as the shadows and without hope. Verse 16, that's why I want to actually go into this verse 16. O Lord our God, all this abundance that you have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I also know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in your uprightness. As for me, it is in the uprightness of my heart I have willingly offered all these things, and now will rejoice I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers kept this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the hearts and of your people, and fix their hearts towards you. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision. This verse 16, 17, 18, and 19 are very key important word. This is the last commission condition of, you might also call this as even a prophetic word about what happened in the past and what going to be happen in the future. It was very interesting today when the worship team was singing that song, say, God, my testimony, my witness. What you remember that word you were singing? What you were talking about? Blessed assurance. And we say, what is my story? I was sitting here and he was praying. And I thought, my goodness, he's prophesying right now when he pray. What is our story? What do we witness? And this is what David said. We are witnesses. Our forefathers, we witness. And God said, teach your children all these things that what happened. And give Solomon to keep your command. Turn to me to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 44. Let's read from verse, actually. Let's read from verse 42. Then God turned and gave him up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, did you offer me slaughtered animal and sacrifice during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? Yes, you took up the tabernacle of Molech and the stars of your god Rempha, image which you made to worship, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. This is a story where Stephen was talking and he was recount all the stories from the beginning, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way, right, until now it's coming to the place of Moses. And he was saying that even when you were in the desert, God provide for you every day. Everything you need, God provide. But did you ever offer him a sacrifice? No, you did not. You did not even thank him. You did not even burn an offering to him. But what you did, you offer sacrifice to idols. And this is in the book of Acts chapter 7, and this 44 we say this. Now he's related to what we talked about earlier. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witnesses in the wilderness, and he appointed instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. What Moses had seen in the vision, what he understood in that state, I want you to build it as it is. Verse 45, which our fathers have received it in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentile. But God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in the temple made with hand, as the prophets say. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, say the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? Can you imagine? It came to the place after many generations has walked through the desert, come to the promised land for Caleb and Joshua. And now they are in the promised land. They are in the place, in the right place to build the temple. And it say here in the scriptures, say that, and the Lord do not dwell in the temple. His presence do not dwell within those walls. And you can kind of think about what happened. All these generations, all these years, people has walked. They give it to the next generation, pass it to the next generation, and they keep moving. They provide. Just to give you an idea about the temple that Solomon built. The front door is made of pure gold. 100 feet tall. About 40 feet wide. One panel of the door is probably this width. And now you can add another one back to the hallway. That's the width of the door. 100 feet tall, solid gold. Just a door. 1,838 people work to build this temple. And other countries, they came and they provide, they give cedar, they give woods, they give all this kind of thing to build this temple. All this effort, all this money put into it, yet it came to the point God chose not to build, to dwell in the house. When I heard this, my heart it shook. Can you imagine if your ancestors, like your great-grandfather has built something, now it's come to your lap, and now it come to the point where nothing is there. After all these people have dreamed, they walk the land, they strive, there's wars, they fight for it, and they conquer. Some of them die, give their life, and came to the point where what's the point if God's presence do not dwell in the temple? What's the point? And then it came to the place where you realize that God said, I will not dwell something which is made by hand. My presence will not dwell something that's made by hand. And God said, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where will you build a place for me? What kind of place can I dwell in it? Jesus walked the earth one day and he said this. He said, the fox have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay down his head. Wondering, what? What are you talking about? Didn't he sleep in the house somewhere? Didn't he have a bed? But he's talking about something spiritual. He wants to dwell. He wants to dwell in us. He wants to dwell in our lives. That's what's everything we can try to do in our life today. And at the end, if there's no presence of God, then we need to question ourselves. Is it worth it? Is it worth it for us to keep the fight, keep striving, keep pushing on if God did not build a house? We build it in vain. If God did not build a house, we build it in vain. We can put watchmen on the tower, watchwoman on the tower, but if we look at the wrong direction, there's no point. They can be the spy in the land, and all they do is critical, and they complain, and they're looking at the wrong thing. They can't see. They can't be a watchman. God is looking for a place where he can rest his presence. What kind of... And he said, now, you and I were the temple of the Holy Spirit. He changed the thing. It's like, I'm changing that now. I'm not going to be in the bricks and the mortar and the woods, even the gold or silver. I want to choose you. I want to choose man. I want to choose woman. This is where I'm going to put my presence in. Jesus said this word, and it shook, it scared a lot of Jewish people. You have to understand that they've been doing this for generation. It said, you destroy this temple, I will build it in 3 days. What are you talking about? It took us, you know how it's hard to get to this place? Even to be in this land? You know how many people have sacrificed so much and you tell us to destroy it? I mean, this is a blasphemy. You understand what I'm saying? And yet, they don't understand what he was trying to say. He's talking about his death and resurrection. He's talking about he is giving us a new life. Look at verse 51. And Bob gave me a prophetic word on, what, Friday night, Bob? I said, Bob was praying, and he praying about this word about stiff neck. I said, Bob, you're talking about my message for Sunday. He did not know what I'm going to talk about. And then he said, this 51, say, you stiff neck and uncircumcised in hearts and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Wow. We can build and build and build. We can go on with our journey. We can try to achieve our dreams, what we want. We can keep going to work every week, every month. We can go on this on. And whatever we try, if God did not put his hand on it, he did not put his presence in it in our life, if your life is not going to be the one life that God can choose to make a difference, then we need to come back to another way. We need to look at it a different way. Turn to me to Numbers chapter 13. I have to warn you before I start that we're going to look at a couple of scriptures today. Is that all right? Okay. Numbers 13. We're going to read from verse 30. Numbers chapter 13. No, Numbers 13. We're going to read from verse 30. Yeah. When Caleb... Thanks, Ari. We're going to look at Numbers 14 down the road, yes. When Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go at once and take possession, For we are well able. And this is a story about the spy of the land. They come back. You remember the 12 spies? And they give all the report. We feel like we're a little grasshopper. We are giant in the land. Yes, there's milk and honey. Right? And those who come to the Passover, you understand the honey was made from date. Not going on the date. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the date fruits. You know, that's where the honey come from. So I'm wondering, like, what are you talking about here? But the man who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which we had spied out, saying, "The land for which we have gone, all spy in the land that devour its inhabitants, all the people whom we saw are in it, and men of great statures. There we saw the giant, the descendant of Anak, came from the giant, and we are like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight." Now they give all this negative report, all this bad thing. And when I heard about this, and the Lord spoke to me, said, "Today, we still have it. There's still people coming around with all this negative and arguing and fighting and arguments." And then in verse 14, it says, chapter 14, verse 24. When Caleb said, "We can go, we can take this land," he decided he's going to align himself with what God is saying. Verse 24 says this, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Some of you have inheritance that God wants to give to you. Some of you even talking about inheritance from your own family. Some of you have lost inheritance. Some are still waiting for your inheritance. All this kind of thing. But God has inheritance. God's inheritance is amazing. If other previous generation has lost God's inheritance, God wants you to redeem the inheritance he has for your life. If you're not the one, then God's going to choose your children. And if that's not the one, God's going to use the children's children. God wants to do that. And basically what God is doing right now is breaking all the generational curses that this generation has been walking into. So what made Caleb different? Spirit. God see that. God say, "This man, Caleb, he has a different spirit in him. He has followed me fully, without reserve." You know how many times I heard people came and talk to me, and they heard, "I heard God told me this. I heard God say this, and I heard God say that to me." They did not ask. They did not say, "Pastor, what do you think?" They came with their own conclusion. And a lot of times, they did not hear from God. They hear from the enemy without even recognizing they've been deceived. Many times. And because they don't ask, you don't want to go there, you don't want to be in their face. You just pray for them. You ask God to reveal. In Luke chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, but let me tell you the story. Luke chapter 4, Jesus was, after 40 days, he was fasting and praying. He went to the desert and he was tempted by the devil. You know the story. And during that time of temptation, guess what happened? Satan talked to him. Satan talk to him? He quoted scriptures to him. He quoted what? Psalm 91. It says if you jump and you fall, you know, God, he will send his angel to catch you and to, you know, but even, you know, you will not, right? Even if you tread on a lion, on a cobra, no harm will happen to you. Let me tell you what. The Satan can quote scriptures to you without you able to recognize it, and you think it's God speaking to you. And I heard it, many people talk to me like this, and I thought to myself, you do not understand. This is not God speaking to you, even you know if it's in scriptures. How many people come and tell me Psalm 91? This is their favorite psalm. And let me tell you, this is probably the favorite psalm for the enemy to trick people. And how did Jesus counter that attack? He read another scriptures to him. And if we don't know the scriptures, we don't know what's happening, we're going to be trapped. Guess what Jesus said? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. When enemy come trying to deceive you, he trying to tempt you, he trying to make you fall. And when he's quoting that scriptures, and he said, he will send his angel, because he's a falling angel. He's thinking about himself. I will catch you if you fall. I'm trying to catch you right now. But what Jesus said, Jesus instead that he knows what's going on. And he said, you shall not tempt the Lord. And what is he talking about? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, where do we read this? In Luke chapter 4, in the New Testament. What did Jesus quote? In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, you will realize it's a lot of commandment there. And some people today, they say, you know what? I'm a New Testament believer. Have you heard that before? The old is gone. I'm a New Testament believer right now. Well, you may be... God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changed. Which God do you serve? Abraham, Isaac, and Israel? He's still the same. He's still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He's still the same. He's still the God, you know. Things have changed us. Move on, yes. But we cannot choose and pick what to do and what to believe in our lives. Let me read Deuteronomy chapter 6 to you and say, now verse 1, he says, now this is a command, and these are the statutes and judgment which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land that which you're crossing over to possess. And we keep saying this. Some of you, you're about to go into the land, into your destiny, into your inheritance, what God has given to you. Some of you, you're going to see other people just proceed that. You're going to see other people step into that destiny that God has planned for their life. But you cannot go there with the wrong spirit. You cannot go there with a spy, and you cannot be negative. You cannot complain. You cannot do this and still thinking you're going to receive an inheritance from God. It's not possible. God will not. You cannot go around and complain and gossip and talk and do all this kind of thing. It will not work. Something needs to change. So what are the changes God want? He want us to have a different spirit. That's why he wants us to be a temple so that we can have the Holy Spirit. Unless the Holy Spirit come and dwell in us, right? He don't want just to visit and have dinner only when you have a barbecue in the summer and then in the winter he's gone. No. He wants to dwell. He wants to make home in our lives. And how he's going to make home with our life is when we change our attitude, we change our character, we change the way we think, we change the way we look at things. It's going to be hard work for some of you. But this is what it's going to take. If you want to enter the promised land, you want to get the inheritance God has for your life, for you and your children, 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 things need to change. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes and his commands, which I command you and your son and your grandson. It's not just you to obey, it's your children, your children, children. All the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may be careful, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God, your Father, has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. O hear Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. All these words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the ways, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them on the sign of your hand, and you shall be, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gate. And this is something that I would like you to do, encourage you to do. Unless you the promises God has for you, the prophetic word that you have received lately, and the promises that God's given to the scriptures, you need to start meditating on them. God gave to Joshua, verse 1, if you meditate on the law, then you will go, your path will be straight. Then you will prosper, and everything you do will multiply. We need to start getting our things right. I tell people, you know what you do? Take about 4 or 5 things that you feel like word of affirmation, that God wants to speak to you, and talk about the things that you need to change in your life. Before you go to bed, you read them to you. You read them to your children. You read them to your spouse. You meditate on them. And you read the scriptures that God's giving you. When you go to bed, let these scriptures keep playing. When you rise up the first thing in the morning, you know when we rise up the first, we are in the deepest meditation state of the day. When you get up in the morning, when you meditate, this is what I do. I meditate on my dreams. Some say, Pastor, but you know, I don't have the time. You understand, I have to wake up like 5 in the morning. Well, wake up at 4. Go to bed earlier. Don't go to bed 10 o'clock. Go to bed 9 o'clock. That makes sense? If you want to make changes, then this is what it takes. When you get in the morning, first thing you do, think about the dreams that you have. I'm telling you, God's speaking a lot for dreams. We're getting a lot for dreams. If the more we meditate on the book of Revelation, the more the dream's getting bigger. And we've been having dreams about people in this church. Not just me, but me, my wife, my kids. Not too long ago, somebody came to us and said, you know what, I have a situation in my home. So we pray for her. A couple of days ago, Amy had a dream. And she told us what her dream is all about, and it was exactly what she told us. We did not tell my kids what we pray for people, what's been happening, and she said, Dad, this is what I saw in my dream. So and so, this is happening, we know. Alex been having another dream 2 days ago about a warning about somebody in this church. You need to be careful. So we don't know how to approach the person, how to talk until you have a different spirit. Otherwise, you're going to stone us to death. You know how you stone us to death with your look and your gestures? You know, that can kill. You know? God, Amy said, Daddy, I have a dream, so and so. This husband is, I saw him, I saw his computer, I saw everything, what he's watching is not good. It's wrong. I was shocked. I said, Amy, we don't say anything. We keep praying. And we know it's true. Sometimes God speaks to the little kids to wake us up. Verse 3, O hear Israel, be careful, observe it, that you may, it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God, your fathers has promised, a land flowing with milk and honey. O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and this word which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. So the first thing when you get up in the morning, take the same thing that you read before you go to bed. The couple of words of affirmation, what God is speaking to you, and God's encouragement into your life. And you need to speak that into your life, into your family, into your children's life. And you do that, I tell you, you do that, things will change. But if you don't do that, that's why I say meditate day and night. Do not let it depart from your mouth. Do not let it depart from your heart. Let me tell you, not too long ago, the Lord showed me in a very kind of, in a state of dream, but it's almost like a vision kind of thing. I saw a form of a person, like a man, and who has a mantle, who has a cloak on him, and that person has an eye in the middle, in the forefront, and this eye has been stitched. So I see that hand stitching his eye, and that eye's been stitched close. And in my visitation, I said, God, what is that thing? And I saw this thing started to crawl like an animal. But that thing knows its ways around. It knows what room, what door. It knows its way in, it knows its way out. Even his eyes is closed. I said, God, what is that? The very next day I saw Daniel. I said, Daniel, guess what I dreamed? And the Lord spoke to me, said, this is a religious spirit. A religious spirit has only one way of seeing things, and even that way of seeing things don't even see it well. When I was preparing this message and the Lord showed me this to me, say, you bind them as a sign on your hand, you shall, and they shall be at the frontlet between your eyes. Next thing you know, my eyes just opened. Wow. The word of God need to be in the middle. But the religious spirit, they choose to close it down. And that spirit cannot stand up. It crawl. And you know how it sometimes it crawl? It crawls on some people's legs and it goes into their back and it goes into their shoulder and it starts whispering to their ears. And that spirit can roam around and he knows its ways. And then, next thing you know, we think we're hearing God, but we're hearing a religious spirit. And that spirit can quote scriptures to you and tell you this is what God wants you to do. Next thing you know, you think, is God speaking to us? Even sometimes you get prophetic word, the Bible says test the prophetic word. Amen? Thank God for that one amen. Verse 16 says, and you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempt him in Massa. I'm looking at Luke chapter 4. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempt him in Massa. You shall diligently keep the commandment of the Lord your God, his testimony and his statutes, which he has commanded you. This is very, very interesting. I think this is so profound, so deep. Do you pray about this today? Your stories, your testimonies, your witness. But this is said, you shall not tempt the Lord. And how do we tempt Him? How did the spy tempt the Lord? It's when we speak against God. It's when we come against what God's will. It's when Satan's trying to deceive Jesus and he say, you shall not tempt me. Some of you, you don't understand. You have to understand, this is something that enemy trying to tempt you. He tried to do things against you. And then you, next thing you know, you try to do it against to the Lord. The spies said, we are like grasshoppers. We cannot. We are giants in the land. And God said, this is the land I'm going to give you. No, we can't. We're not able. They will destroy us like this, just nothing. God said, this is, I'm with you. I will give it to you. Guess what we're doing? We're tempting the Lord. Every time we go against God's will, we're tempting the Lord. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 7, he says this. This is what Massa means. And he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel. Because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is God with us? Maybe not. Maybe yes. Maybe that's tempting. Everything that go against God's will, God's word in your life, it's tempting him. We are coming to a place where we say, they want to kill Moses. You remember that? They want to stone Moses. And God said, I've sent a prophet. He has seen me face to face. He has seen my glory for the burning bush. And I give him my word. And when he give it to you, when Moses speaks to the people, guess what they do? They don't want to hear him. They want to stone him to death. There's the parables that Jesus said about the servant that God sent in the field. And God sent to them, and they beat one. God sent another one. They killed the other one. And finally, God sent his own son, and they're still doing it to him. They killed his son. They said, here's the ears right now. Let's kill him. And this is what we do when we come against what Jesus spoke to us, when we come against what, when the prophetic word, when the scriptures come into our life. We come against that. We're tempting the Lord. In Acts chapter 17, I just want to go there quickly. Paul is talking to that in Athens, the Athenians, and the Bible says that they are religious people. God who made the world and everything in it since, verse 24. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temple made with hand, nor is he worshipped with man's hand as though he needed everything, as though he needed anything. Since he gives to you all life, breath, and all things, he has made from one blood every nation of men who dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundary of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, and also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. God wants us to find him. He's not far from us. We can touch, we can reach to him. Right? And every time when something goes wrong, you think God is far. Where's God? Is he here or not? Well, that's not good. That's not right. Can I have another amen? Amen. I tell you one thing, God is looking for a generation that will stand with him, call things that are not as though they were. God wants us to make a difference in our life than our previous generation. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. If you are fully committed to Him and if you fully obey the Lord your God, if you listen to His word and you meditate on them and you change your attitude, you change your character, you stay within the boundaries God has put you, you will find Him. It's not just now the keys to find Him. Now is the place to keep Him. And I'm glad I can preach the word of God as is in this place. I'd rather preach the word of God in a small church than arrive in a big church if I can't preach it. What's the point? Let me tell you a little story. I'm going to play, I promised you last week, I'm going to play that